I'm Melissa Maxwell Doherty from Grand Forks, North Dakota, and our title is Opening the Table. It's all about listening and responding to our children, and today's topic is increasing autonomy. Before we begin, any successes or boo-boos from yesterday? Did you try anything? Or stories you want to share? Well, if you think of anything, just pop it out. At our first parish, we had a group, kind of a social group, fellowship group, called the Young Couples, and they were all people in their 20s, and some had kids, and some were approaching their 30s. Some didn't have kids, and one of the topics we talked about was parenting, and we had two parents they had picked out that they thought were doing a very good job, the Burroughs and the Petersons. And they came to our house, which was the parsonage, and they just shared, and then the parents asked questions, and we didn't have kids, so we just listened. And it was absolutely two different philosophies. The Burroughs had two girls who were very independent, healthy, functioning, lovely young women. And their philosophy was you do everything you possibly can for the sake of the child. And as parents, we make sacrifices for those kids. The Petersons had two great boys. Brilliant. One was an actor, had tons of money. His father was a stockbroker, and he was this child actor, and so he had all this money stashed away for college. And he's at Stanford now, and the other son is an artist in France. And I mean, they're neat people, really neat people. And their philosophy was every day we encourage our children to be more independent and get them ready to leave the house. Two different sets. And great children. That's the interesting part. I mean, if you had to pick on the basis of the kids, you couldn't do it. But what resonated for me was what Carol Peterson said, to give your child wings. And that was a real new thought for me. How can we raise our children to be healthy, responsible adults? This is, you know, listen to what I say, not what I do. And someone said this just the other day, to allow them to do things for themselves, permitting them to wrestle with their own problems, not to solve the problems for them, but to let them engage in the struggle, and letting them learn from their mistakes. You know, I remember my parents were sitting here saying, you know, well, I didn't do that, but I want you to do that, you know? And they were trying to help us learn from their mistakes. And that's good. You can learn from your parents' mistakes, but you also learn from your very own mistakes. And that's easier said than done. I tend to want to give my kids advice and to problem solve for them. Some friends of ours, the Solems, these are the kids that left their kid in their car once each outside a restaurant. And we'd go up to their house, and at this point, their oldest was 7, so she's, what, about first grade, kindergarten, first grade, something like that. And 7 o'clock, she'd come in, she'd kiss her parents goodnight, talk to them a little bit. They'd go in, they'd put themselves to bed, and Casey would come out, and so he's like about 4, and he would wear to bed what he was going to wear the next day. Now, in Arizona, you wear shorts all the time, pretty much, so that was, you know, pretty easy. And then mom would say, well, what time are you going to get up? And Aaron would say, well, I've set my alarm for 6:30. And it was like, oh my goodness. I have a 9-year-old who sometimes sets his alarm, you know, but they are really encouraging them to be very autonomous. They know how to set their alarm. They're learning how to tell time. They can wake themselves up. And I asking them, does she really do it? And they said, yes. She wakes herself up. She gets herself dressed. This is 7. She brushes her teeth, combs her hair, and then she comes out to greet us. I mean, do your kids do that? But, you know, she does it, and it's working very well. The opposite, I suppose, of an independent child would be a dependent child. And to get us thinking, what may it be like to be an independent child? I'm going to pass out some cards. And I'll ask you to read them, and as we read them, How would you feel if somebody said this to you? Card number one, pretend that you are 4 years old. Okay? And these are the things that you hear during the course of the day.
Just one line?
Just give me the whole...
Whole card?
The whole card.
You're tired, I want you to lie down and take a nap now. Eat all your string beans, the vegetables are good for you. Here, let me zip that zipper for you. I don't want you playing with that boy, he uses bad language. Are you sure you don't have to go to the bathroom?
Okay, now you're four, how do you feel?
Maybe I have no control.
No control? I'd feel taken care of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, on the positive side. Yeah. Our little one goes to a preschool where they can start going there when they're three. And when winter comes and moms and dads are zipping their kids' jackets on, the preschool director at some point takes you aside and asks you not to do that. Very nice, very graciously. She says, we teach the kids here how to put on their snowsuits and their boots and their, you know, everything, and mittens so that they can go outside and play in the snow, and it would help us if you would let them do it. And it's like, oh, you mean my little one can do that? Oh, my goodness, I guess he can't. I didn't know that. You know, she has to remind you of what your child can do. Amazing. Okay, card number two. Now you're 9 years old and you hear this.
Don't bother to try on that jacket. Green isn't your color. Give the jar to me. I'll unscrew the top, the cap for you. I've laid your clothes out for you. Do you need help with your homework?
How do you feel? You're nine. Some of us have nine-year-olds.
Well, the first three, you know.
I agree with you. The last one's different.
Do you need help with your homework?
Yeah. I guess in the context, if I'm letting them make the decision.
Yeah, and they can say yes or no.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that quite often.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I usually just ask, do you have homework?
Do you have homework?
And have you done it?
Or if you're having trouble with your math, go to your dad.
Yeah. I did that. He understood it. I didn't, but the first three, how do you feel?
Oh. These are just so alien to autonomy.
Yes. But the last one seems more partnership, assisting.
Okay. I don't know, partnership, but let's not make a decision.
Okay. It gives them a choice.
Maybe a time when you say, you know, let me help you because you haven't got your homework done, you've been here for an hour.
Yeah, okay. Who is card number three? Now you're 17 and you hear these things.
I know that you're old enough to have a license, but it's not necessary for you to have to drive. I'm much too nervous about accidents. I'd be happy to drive you wherever you want to go. All you have to do is ask me.
Now, how do you feel? You're shaking your head.
I feel crushed. He's 15 and he's already moving forward to his license.
Our son was thinking about what car he was going to drive when he was 13.
Yeah. Kyle is, yeah.
Well, that's the single most freedom-giving thing you can do in our society, I think, is a driver's license.
Wheels.
And one of the most dangerous.
Yes.
On the other hand.
Yes. And. Yeah,
but
okay.
There's a point where, you know, if you're going to protect them, put them in the house, chain them in the house, and the house will burn down and kill them. I mean, you know, there's a point where you got to let something go.
We have to give them the wings,
yeah.
Responsibility to make those choices. Yeah. Do any of you know the name Raleigh Martinson? He's a pastor. I think he's also a physician. I think he has a degree in medical science, too. And he's teaches family systems and counseling and pastoral care at Luther Seminary. And he came to one of our churches and talked to parents of pre-teenagers. And the one thing I remember he said that it stuck with me is teach them things before they need to know it. So his kids, when they're 10, 11, he's taking them out to parking lots and teaching them how to drive, even though their feet can hardly, you know, I mean, he's preparing them. And so he's teaching them when they're 8 all about what's going to happen to it, puberty. He says, give them to them well in advance and keep giving it to them. That made sense to me.
Wow. Yeah.
okay, let's say they're 17 in your city where they need to drive. Start taking them out where they are not a danger and teach them how to drive so that by the time they're learning for the first time, they're really learning for the second or the third time. Teach them what they need to know a few years before they are actually accountable and responsible to know it.
Well, it opens up the subject early because some things are too embarrassing. Puberty, some things that happen to boys and girls
in
puberty are too embarrassing. They won't talk about that.
Right.
It's been opened up before they might.
That's right. And if you, especially on sexual things, if you start it before, then you've laid an atmosphere of, we can talk about these things.
What do you laugh about?
Doug's real good about some of those kinds of things. He had Aaron driving around our property when he was real young, you know. And he's real good about showing him things, but also on the subject of sex, he's real good because he doesn't get embarrassed about it. Me, the nurse, I turn red and all kinds of shades of green. But he'd go up there and go, so, you got any sex questions?
That's real upfront.
Hey, this is a kid in third grade, come home and ask me what a condom was. It's time to sit down and discuss
if they're asking, yeah.
Because maybe one's floating around school and, you know, it's like, oh, geez.
That's right.
I thought I had a few more years here.
I remember when our oldest was getting ready to go to preschool for the first time, and we were having the well child visit, and the physician said, have you talked with Kyle about safe touches? And I said, well, he's only 2 and a half. She says, he's going to preschool in the fall. Yes, then you need to do that. Reminder call. Start teaching them before they're actually accountable to know that information. I kind of liked it. Okay, who's card number 4? Now you're an adult, and this is what your employer says to you.
As your boss, I'm going to tell you something for your own good. Stop making suggestions about how to improve things around here. Just do your job. I'm not paying you for your ideas. I'm paying you to work.
Now, how do you feel?
You don't have anything to contribute.
That's right. You're dependent. You're helpless.
Yeah.
Let me solve it for you. I don't know if I can tell this about Rockwell, but my father worked in the space shuttle for lots of years at Rockwell, and I remember him telling that they had this program where if you had a good idea, they would pay you, right? If it was a cost saving, and you did 4, 5, 6, 7 of those, I can't remember. You know, how neat, what an affirming thing for your employer to say. You got ideas, you see how we can do this better. We're going to reward you for that. Neat. You're autonomous. Okay, now who's got card number 5? Now you're a citizen of a new nation. At a public meeting, you hear a visiting dignitary from a rich, powerful country announce this.
Because your nation is still in its infancy and is as yet undeveloped, we are not unmindful of your needs. We plan to send you experts and materials to show you how to run your farms, your schools, your businesses, and your government. We'll also send professionals in family planning who will help you reduce your country's birth rate.
Now, how do you feel as a member of this developing new nation?
Like it's going to be a model of the developed country, not my own nation.
Yeah. You're not free to be who you want to be. Yeah. I think the real struggle with this is you know, what you hear when you're 4, you know, some of us can say, well, they need to know some of that. By the time you're an adult, it sounds absolutely absurd, doesn't it? And the feeling it engenders are crazy. But when they are young, we wonder, shouldn't we do this for our kids? After all, they are dependent upon us, and we are their teachers and role models, and we want them to grow up, but they need us so much. But it can be kind of a trap. So today we're going to look at, are there ways that we can increase their ability to be independent so that they can function on their own? More cartoons.
Are these cartoons taken out of this book?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And I've had for quite a few years, and if you get the book, it talks about it in the back. They have a whole kit that you can use for a workshop if you want to teach this in your community or in your church. And then you have lovely little pictures like this, and I just made transparencies out of them. They're nice, aren't they? They help me learn. One thing we can do, and you're probably doing it already, is let children make choices. Are you in the mood for your gray pants or your red pants? Would you like half a glass of juice or a whole? We're leaving in 5 minutes. Do you want to go on the side swing, on the slide one more time, or on the swing? What would work best for you, doing your practice before or after dinner? It kind of assumed that some things are non-negotiable, like practice. You are going to practice. It's a matter of when. Our kids, especially our oldest, does much better with advance warning. And so whenever, if we're at a park or they're at the Village Green and we're going to do something, almost always we'll give them a 5 or 10 minute warning. We found that if we do that, then he'll leave graciously. If we spring it on him, he's wigged out. Your kids too? Oh yeah, this morning. I wanted Nathan to take a shower this morning because he was just stinky. And
so tell it like it really was.
Yeah, well, and he did. He had a sponge bath the night before, but his hair was just matted. And he also wanted a hacky sack, so I said, well, do you want your shower before or after your hacky sack? He said, I want my hacky sack, and then I want a washcloth bath. So I said, well, but what about your hair? We'll have a washcloth bath on my hair. So we did in that sink. We washed his hair, and it worked out. Give him choices. That's a simple thing. I suspect you're already doing that. Show respect for a child's struggle, which means you let them have it. You don't take away their pain or their struggle. Instead of, here, give the jar to me. The child's trying to open the jar. I mean, show respect. The jar can be hard to open. Sometimes it helps if you tap the lid with a spoon. Yesterday we were doing Fimo beads, those clay beads, which was really fun. And Nathan's right beside me, and you know, get to a point where he couldn't do it. And there were times where I just had to resist reaching in there, unasked, uninvited, to solve it for him. That's what my nature wanted to do. I'll get it squishy, and then you do whatever you want with it. And even one point when he asked me, I just said, yes, that's really hard to do. Try squishing it. And then he asked me again, so finally I did it. But it was so hard because I wanted to right away, even before I was welcomed. Instead of, what's taking you so long? As a child's trying to tie their shoes. Tying shoelaces takes a lot of fancy finger work. If we're on their way to church and we're late, I'd be right there. I'd grab that shoe. I'd put that lace right on, right? Time. Be better to let them have the struggle. Here's math. Adding fractions is a snap. I'll help you. And Dad just does it. Adding fractions can be hard. It's not easy to find the common denominator. I don't know if I remember about common denominators, but showing respect for their struggle, letting them have it. Don't ask too many questions. This I really struggle with as well. Instead of firing questions, give the chance a child to tell or not to tell. Kind of respect some of their privacy. Mom's knitting and she's looking the child in the eye. Child's come home a little slunched over. Doesn't look like a good day. How did your teacher like your composition? Did you pass the math test? Is anyone coming over after school to play with you today? No, why not? Have you ever found yourself doing a battery of questions?
I have.
Boom, 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 boom. How about, hi, I'm glad to see you. Looks like Mom put down her knitting and ready to hug her child. Did you have a good time at the party? Who was there? Were people dressed up? What'd you eat? Was there dancing? Did you dance with whom? How about, welcome home?
That second one really rings a bell with me because I remember as a teenager, you know, I'd go to some party, and the minute I get home, my mom would want to know all the details about it, and I just didn't want to talk about it. I don't know why, I just didn't. I was tired, I wanted to go to bed. The next day, I would get up and tell her everything. But it was like, that was just the wrong moment. I just wanted to go to sleep, you know. I was tired of it.
Give them a little space and yeah. See what they tell you.
Yeah, they may come back later. Maybe just the timing's wrong, you know.
You have a child that's older, mm-hmm. a teenager. Do you ever find that, you know, like you'll say welcome home and you're just dying to know, but you never do find out?
Yes.
And what's that like?
It's hard, but you still need to respect that, he's 14, my oldest, that there are pieces of his life that he may choose not to share with me yet. And he's getting to that point where he gets to have some thoughts and some ideas and some minds of his own.
I know there's a lot, not a lot, but there's quite a few things that Aaron doesn't want to talk about. You know, he's really private. And he doesn't want, in the things he tells me, he doesn't want me telling Aunt Kathy or, you know, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. He gets sort of bugged about that. But what I find is we have a basketball hoop in our house. And we used to go out and we just shoot hoops. And he would talk more there than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, this is sort of gruesome, we were digging a grave for our dog, but he opened up a lot then. So like doing things together made a big difference mm-hmm. in how much he would talk to me.
I wonder if there's a difference there between boys and girls. You know, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
I've had the same experience shooting baskets with my son. I feel like I get closer to him doing something like that with him than any other time. He really likes to tune me out. I think it's mainly, he's 18 and he has Down syndrome. And I've been in a lot of parenting things, like developing capable people. And all the other parents have gifted kids in those programs. And, you know, their kids are just, can be much more independent. And Will wants to be as independent as any other kid. But he doesn't have the judgment, in my estimation, and I think you would have the same estimation as some other kids that age. So, but I feel like we can really get close when I shoot baskets.
When you're engaged in an activity. Interesting.
And they say that there's territory, too. You know, if you're sitting in your house at your kitchen table, that's kind of the adult's territory. You know, if you go somewhere like, you know, to McDonald's or you know somewhere else where it's a neutral territory or their territory in their bedroom where sometimes you'll have a whole different conversation because of whose territory you're in.
We still put our kids to bed at night, and I don't know when you're supposed to stop doing that, or maybe you're not ever supposed to, I don't know, but we always read books and talk, but that's for our oldest, that's his best time. That's when he'll really, because I think it's dark. I think that's part of it, you know, feels maybe safer. Yeah. And clearly this one is an adolescent, the welcome home one. Makes sense. Here's something else we can do. Don't rush to answer questions. I think this is really hard. Instead of answering immediately, give a child to express his or her own thoughts. The child's looking out the window. Daddy, where does rain come from? Rain is caused by evaporation and condensation of moisture. You see what actually happens is, and then. How about, Daddy, where does rain come from? That's an interesting question. What do you think?
See, that drove me crazy as a kid. What do you think? I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question. I wanted to know. And of course, some of these questions, like, well, Bill Cosby, why is there air? Well, blowing basketballs, you know. They're so complicated. Maybe this one is too, but I want to know where it came from. I didn't know, that's why I was asking. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to agree with you about that, and especially the second scenario there, the grandmother one.
Let's read that.
If that was me, what I'd be looking for is reinforcement that, yeah, grandma loves me, and I want to hear someone tell me that.
I'm going to read it, especially for the tape, since you referred to that. Why does grandma visit us every week? Because she loves us so much, because she lives nearby, and why does grandma visit us each week? You wonder about that. Why does grandma visit us every week? And I think this one is really a matter of timing. What I have found is when I wait a little bit to answer a question, especially with the 9-year-old, that when he first asks a question, he may be trying to get into a different issue. And if I simply answer the question, I miss the other issue. And I wish I had, I've been thinking all morning about some concrete things that I could pull up from just the last few weeks, and I can't. But I know that there was one particular time he's in his bedroom, and he asks what appears to be a neutral question, and I answer it. And then it kind of stops, and we read a book, and then it dawns on me that something else is going on here. So then I go back to that. And then he just pulls this whole other thing that was very significant, and I wish I could remember what this was about. So I offer that, and I think why they offer it is because, you know, is it because Grandma loves me, which would be great to reinforce that. Is it because Grandma comes and I don't have my room? Is it because Grandma is sick, and so the focus of the family is on Grandma, rightfully so. You know, it's hard to know what's motivating that little question. And if you wait, maybe you can get at some of that motivation. What do you think about that? You buying that, or no?
I've had that experience with my oldest one, where he really wants to talk about something else.
Can you think of what it is? And
no, not off the top of my head, but there's a sense of needed question to a more important topic for them. I'm just trying to collect thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I've been wondering about questions that the kids will ask that I've already answered. And I mm-hmm. think, why are they repeating this question to me? Mm-hmm. Do they just want me to talk to them? And it's fairly obvious, even by the way they ask the question, that they know the answer already. And I'm wondering, why are they doing that? You know,
it must be some. Yeah. It's touching onto some area that they maybe don't quite know how to get into.
Maybe, you know, that when you were talking about that, I thought, well, maybe that's the reason why.
I know if the rain question had come up at our table, I'd say, oh my goodness, Dad, you gotta go to Dad. I just don't have those things down, and I'd miss a moment potentially. I would miss a moment. Another way to do that is to say, well, it's from the sky, and that's about, you know, how about, let's go to the computer and pull up an encyclopedia, or, you know, you could direct them to another resource. But then you still may miss whatever is going on in that child. And I think that's why they suggest that.
Can we ask them if you've answered the question?
Pardon me?
Grandma comes because she loves us. Did that answer your question? And sometimes they'll say, no, you know.
That's a good one.
You know, because maybe something else happened.
Maybe it's something else.
Yeah.
Let's keep that in our back pocket, too.
Why do I have to give up on one when she comes?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Maybe there's, you're trying to find out
other
stuff.
I know she loves us, but why does she come? Well, you know, she wants to visit us. I know that, but why, you know.
You know, maybe this child wants to visit Grandma in Grandma's home. So, you know, I mean, it could be something as simple as that. Or take Grandma's bed. Maybe Grandma. I used to love going to see my one grandma lived in the same state, and she always had good candies. Remember, she had that table with all these good candies, and we couldn't overdo it, but she'd always let us get into it a little bit. It's kind of fun. Something else we can do to encourage their autonomy is to use sources outside the home. Dad, my angelfish looks sick. What should I do? I wonder if the pet shop owner has any suggestions. It encourages them to learn. This is, I think teachers just know this. And do, who's the teacher here? You're the teacher. I suspect you do this all the time with your kids. You encourage them to read and to use resources outside of you. I also know you answer questions directly, but I suspect this might be quite natural to you. All my friends are allowed to have gum. Can you buy me gum? Well, let's check with Dennis and see what he thinks about chewing gum. Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Put it off till way later.
Put it off later.
We got an appointment in September.
You know, I think the issue, Mom's trying to think of sugar versus Trident, right? Mom, did you find me a guitar teacher yet? I'm still making inquiries. I'd also like you to ask around school for some recommendations, Dad. So that when I'm an adult and I need to know how to find things out, I know where to go. You're teaching them a valuable lesson. Dad, you've got to help me with math. I'm so behind. How would you feel about asking the teacher for a name of a senior who would tutor you until you caught up? Now, Dad is not saying no, he's not going to help, but he's encouraging them to look elsewhere. When I went to college, I knew how to write paragraphs because I had a teacher who just made us write all the time. And I knew how to look for dictionaries, and I knew how to look up periodicals because she taught us that. And I remember teaching some kids in college how to really use a library because nobody had ever taught them. And I had a teacher who just forced it on us. We hated her at the time for it, but it was really a good lesson. But she encouraged that. Now, that's a beautiful gift we give our child. And lastly, don't take away hope. And I think we actually, all of us need this one. Instead of dashing hope, allow for striving and dreaming. Allow for the struggle. Mom, I'm trying out for leading the school play. Do you think I'll get the part? Look, I don't want you to be disappointed. Why try out for the lead when you haven't had any acting experience? Maybe there's a smaller part. Crush. The spirit is crushed. How about you're going to try out for the lead? Ooh, that should be an experience. Okay. I want to get a job babysitting. You're much too young, dear. No one will hire you. You think you might like to work as a sitter? Tell me about it. We had a little girl in one of our congregations that wanted to do that, and she was in sixth grade, and they had a transaction very similar to that. The mother talked to her and said, where do you think you could go to learn more? She says, well, I could practice on my brothers and sisters. Well, yes, and you've actually been doing that. What else? And so she found out about a Red Cross class, and then she had little business cards made up with little colored hearts on it. It was really cute, and they talked about, when do you think you would be like a time for you to practice it? She thought maybe if she'd do it Saturday afternoons. So she just came up to me and said, I want to practice babysitting on Saturday afternoons if you ever want me to come, but no more than an hour and a half. I'm just practicing. I mean, it was great. I mean, what a neat kind of gift for her child. Maybe I'll be an engineer when I grow up. Oh, with your math grades, forget it. Right? So you're considering a career in engineering. It encourages conversation, and it lets them go on. I don't know. Did I tell the story of my ninth grade guidance counselor in here? I can't remember when I said what, but they wanted to know. Maybe it was 10th grade. What we wanted to be when we grew up, and that was I was thinking about being either a winemaker. I thought that'd be fun, or an interior decorator. And we took this battery of tests, and the teacher, when I said that I wanted to do this, and one of the tests, you had to have this open box, and you had to figure out, just by looking at it, how it would look when it was unfolded, and I basically got everyone wrong. I have no spatial abilities. And he very gently said, okay, that'd be great. On this test, just, and he explained the test and spatially, and you did very poorly. However, you could do this. Keep in mind that your giftedness might lead you elsewhere. I mean, he didn't take away the hope, but I knew that I probably shouldn't do it. Okay. And so, just to summarize, let children make choices. Are you in the mood for your gray pants or your red pants? That'd be much a very young child. Show respect for the child's struggle. Don't ask too many questions. Welcome home, glad to see you. Don't rush to answer questions. Maybe that's a better way of saying it, as opposed to just answer questions, but don't rush to. That's an interesting question. What do you think? Encourage children to use sources outside the home. Maybe the pet shop owner would have a suggestion. Don't take away hope. So you're thinking of trying out for the play, that should be an experience. Let's do a little practicing. Okay. As opposed to, parent originally says, take your bath now. What's a revised statement that might offer a choice that encourages autonomy?
Would you rather take your bath before or after dinner?
Great. Perfect. Okay.
How about this? Why are you having such a hard time putting your boots on? Here, put your foot up. I'll do it for you. What could we say that would respect the child's struggle?
Just make a comment on how difficult it is to bring your boots on and encourage them that they're doing a good job and to take the time to get it right.
Persevere.
Like me to show you this trick with the sandwich bag.
Ooh, I don't even know that trick with the sandwich bag.
Take a bread sack, put it over their shoe, and just...
Wax paper. My mom used to do wax paper.
Wax paper.
It's just on the...
Yeah, cornstarch.
Cornstarch.
Oh, we're getting all kinds of tricks here.
Wow. You'll slip in on that. It was overshoes that went over your shoes, because we didn't have tennis shoes on as a kid, but...
Those plastic ones, huh?
Yeah, plastic overshoes that walked to school, and just a piece of wax paper.
Then do you leave the wax paper in, or you take it out? You leave it on day?
Well, I can't get it out.
You can't get it. It's wedged in there. Okay. Did you have fun at camp today? Did you swim? Did you like the other children? What's the counselor like? Okay. How could we revise that?
How was your day?
How was your day? Or just stop. Did you have fun at camp today? Stop. Close your mouth. Listen. Did you swim? Close your mouth. Listen. Okay. Right? Just break them up. Okay. Why does daddy have to work every day? Well, we've gone through this. Parent, daddy has to go to work every day so we can have this nice house, good food, good clothing, and... Okay. Clearly, we don't know what's motivating this one. What can we do not to rush to answer the question? Why does daddy have to work every day? What can we say? This one is, I think, harder.
Well, you can honestly say sometimes I wonder about that too.
Yeah. You could say, Daddy does work a lot. Now, what do you think? We've gone into. How come daddy always has to work at night? And even though he doesn't have to work every night, if he works two nights in a row, it feels like a lot to our kids. And I've answered it. I've said, well, because there are church meetings. Then you realize, well, that really helped, didn't it, Melissa? So you go back and says, would you like daddy here more often? Well, yeah. You know, like, we haven't been able to play baseball a long time. You know, and that's the issue. He wants to see his dad more often. So we've talked about that. We go through that probably every couple months. Teenager, I'm getting too fat. I want you to put me on a diet. What should I be eating? I've been telling you for years now to stop eating all that cake, candy, and start eating your fruit and vegetables. Okay, what could we say to encourage children to use sources outside the home? I'm getting too fat. I want you to put me on a diet. What should I be eating?
Maybe you could discuss that with a school nurse.
Usually a doctor. Or maybe they could sign up for all that cooking class.
You bet. Direct them outside the home. Child, Dad, I'm going to be a teacher when I grow up. Don't count on it. Graduate schools are filled with teachers who can't get jobs when they get out of school. I've heard a lot of people do that. Okay, how could you do it? Say it differently so that you do not take away hope. Dad, I'm going to be a teacher when I grow up.
Sounds like an interesting idea.
It's an important profession.
That's a great goal to have. How will you get there? Okay. Those are all ways that encourage them to think on their own and to show great, great respect.
Melissa, how hard do you push? Our 15-year-old has expressed interest in firefighting, and he has dyslexia, we just found out about a couple years ago, so he hasn't learned to... There are still some classes that are very difficult for him, and to... one person suggested a fire science degree to go to college. but he needs to work, learn how to work with dyslexia to get his grades up, to get into college. How hard should I push to go talk to Charlie Hanson? He's a firefighter. He'll tell us what colleges, go to the library. He knows the suggestions are there, but he hasn't done it yet.
So when he's talked with you about that, you've referred him to some of those places to see, and he's not made that move yet.
Right.
Then I think he's not ready to make that move yet. I think he's telling you, I'm thinking about that. And I think your support and encouragement, wow. That's a super important job. I wonder what you need to do to get there and different avenues. And it may be he needs some support, encouragement, and just working through. I mean, anything you do, if you have a big goal, if you chunk it up into little pieces, a small step, it helps, right? And maybe right now, as a parent, that the issues around dyslexia are going to have to be until he can take this step. But he's still looking for the big picture.
Right, yeah, he's still definitely wants college.
And, Kyle right now wants to be a zoologist, and I think that's great. And so now that he's told us that, when we're at San Diego Zoo, I'm encouraging him to look at books about zoology, and he don't want to do it. And I want to say, how can you be a zoologist unless you're going to read these books, This does not help. But that's what I think about when he says, no, I want to get this one about cars. Looks like you have a suggestion.
I don't know if you could find this, but there are high interest, low reading ability books on various subjects, and maybe is he inclined to read it all?
No. I cannot even with the tapes, the recorded books, he won't.
He won't listen to tape.
Yeah.
Because there's an organization that, for the blind, anybody, like that, you can get tapes so many.
It's just he doesn't have the full motivation yet.
Well, I just thought if there was an adventure book about that, he might be interested in that.
You know, what really got me interested in what I want to do was somebody took me out and did it. Obviously, they're not going to let him go out and fight a fire. But if he can go down there and see some of the stuff they do, these are pretty awesome guys, really, In my opinion, these are guys who are in combat occasionally, fighting fires, and uncontrollable force,
And he's here with you?
No, he didn't come.
He didn't come, because if you walk, they have this massive fire prevention system here, and they train certain. Wouldn't it be neat for him to come for a week or two and he could learn that kind of here where he wouldn't need to read?
Yeah,
that's true. He'd need to know how to pull and lift, and and their head fire chief is just back in the village. He just got here yesterday.
I think sometimes, too, they're just trying out these ideas on you and for themselves. And for you to take up too much involvement in how he can learn more about it, that's you owning it then.
Yeah.
Don't take it too seriously.
And most people you talk to have thought about lots of different things, before they finally arrive. And then, at least what I hear from guidance people, they say, let's say if you go to college and you come out with a degree, that probably in your life you're going to have the average person has five different jobs. And some of it's just a degree for life, to get you through life. Okay. In this next situation, we're going to see a variety of situations that may put us as a parent under stress, or we may respond feeling stress. And there are situations that happen during an average day, And so we're going to be asking ourselves these two questions. What could I say or do to keep the child dependent upon me? And what could I say or do to encourage a child's autonomy? And we could do any of these skills, and we've talked about accepting our child's feeling, describing what I feel, giving information, problem solving, giving choices, and then the things we talked about today, showing respect for child's struggle, not taking away hope, sources outside the home, not asking too many questions and not rushing to answer questions. And these are typical things that may happen. So we're going to say, what could keep the child dependent and what could encourage them to be independent? Child says, I was late for school today. You have to wake me up earlier tomorrow. You have to. Okay, what could we say to keep them dependent?
Of course I'll do that. I'll get right up, I'll get my alarm and set it 15 minutes earlier too, and I'll be there and I'll lay your clothes out for you, and then
yes.
I'll give you 15-minute reminders all morning long.
Can I hire you to come into my, organize my life? Okay. What can we say to encourage autonomy? Many different ways.
Give them an alarm clock. Suggest choosing clothes the night before.
What do you think you could do to prepare tonight for tomorrow morning? Okay. Or you could say, late, that must have felt terrible. Or how did it feel to be late? I mean, you could focus even on the feeling, right? Child, I don't like cereal anymore and I'm tired of eggs. I'm not going to eat breakfast anymore. What can we say to keep them dependent?
You have to eat breakfast.
Say it again?
You have to eat breakfast.
You have to eat breakfast.
Oh, honey, what would you like?
Oh, honey. Yeah, I'll probably watch ourselves when we say, oh, honey. Probably some dependent is going to come out any minute. Okay, the harder thing, what could we say to encourage autonomy?
We differ on this one.
Okay.
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 But lunchtime is when we eat again.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's a consequence for that.
Yes, she has a problem with that. It's like, I can't send them off without
the mother.
Well, why not? This is the best lesson they'll ever learn. They'll have a headache. They'll be have a stomach ache. They'll be miserable.
Unfortunately, the consequences also get dumped on mommy because they're whining and they're grouchy and they're crabby before lunchtime, and you're out in the back 40.
Well, get out in the back 40 then and let them suffer the consequences.
Grandma, what would you say? Or Grandpa?
Pretty tender hearted.
Yeah. Grandma's always on.
Okay, Grandpa?
Unless I could. maybe I could say, well, let's look at a cookbook. In fact, I used to give some of my grandchildren children's cookbooks. And maybe you might, maybe we could decide, or you could decide, you could try something on your own to cook for yourself.
Like getting them cooking anymore. My mother really was tender-hearted. When I was, it was dependent, but I tell you, it was a lap of luxury. I hated getting up in the morning, and I had always last day to do, so I'd wake up from 11 to about, well, I'd go to sleep at 11, wake up at 1, and then I'd go back at 3, especially when I had big tests, because I knew I'd have high motivation to get back in bed, so I'd go into the bathroom where it was warm, and I'd study to about 2:30, and then say, you know, you finished early, you get half an hour extra sleep. My mom would wake me up on the intercom. I'd get up, out of bed, go into the bathroom. She'd have my breakfast all there. My vitamin, my juice. I walked from my bedroom down the hallway into the bathroom. Had my clothes were there, and I walked out the back in 25 minutes. It was terrible. I was terribly dependent, but I sure liked it as when I was in high school. Okay, so what would we say to encourage autonomy? I don't like cereal anymore, I'm tired of eggs. I'm not going to eat breakfast.
You're a nurse, so you can respond to this. I've heard if you don't have time for breakfast, just have a glass of juice and a glass of milk. And I would think that would, even with a kid, be better for a child than nothing. You could say, how does a glass of orange juice and a glass of milk sound to you?
Okay, and I'd say, no, I'm tired of that too.
There's more here. They're challenging you.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, they're challenging you to do something. I don't know.
could maybe come up with something, but to make decisions a little bit, I don't know.
You could say...
I mean, that's a big challenge. I'm not going to eat breakfast anymore. Okay, yeah. We're going to save a few bucks here.
That's a big decision.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. You can give... describe what you feel. I'm uncomfortable knowing that you're going to school without a breakfast. However, that's your choice. It is a long way till lunchtime.
That's the suggestion they have for you.
No, I'm just saying that's one you could do. That's one you could do. I that would be really hard for me. I want my kids to eat. And, you know, we get notes from the principal saying, get them to bed early and get them breakfast. I mean, they tell us that. So I go, okay.
This might be one that you could also ask the child, you've got to check it out with somebody else. That's an idea that doesn't feel good for me. Can you talk to a doctor about it the next time you go in for a checkup? Or can you talk to
I like that. That's
you know, your older brother about it, or you let's get some information for somebody else.
You've combined two things. You've said how you feel, you're uncomfortable, and you could even give them the reason why, and then check it out with somebody else. Until then, and you know, they could balk at you, until then, you have a choice. Is it gonna be this?
Well, is it bad to offer, hey, there's leftover stew from the night before?
Not peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I like cold apple pie myself.
Yeah.
We do some your job, my job. We do that in school and at home. Where, a kid comes up, I don't have any lunch today, I forgot my money, Well, whose job is it? Is it my job to make sure you have lunch? No, I'm not going to accept that as my job, but it is my job to make sure you have nutrition in the morning before you leave, and your job is to get some. So how can I help you do your job? If it is, a bag of dry cereal that you're eating on the way to the bus, if it's a glass of milk, and there might be some other things in regard to the diet the night before. Mm-hmm. We've been watching up here. We have a 13-year-old, and it's major autonomy. It's like, drop me at camp, and I don't want to see you until we get on the bus. And last time we were here a couple years ago, there was a lot more, what are we doing? And now it's like, I don't want to see you. And we're seeing he's not eating his meals. But we also know his money supply is going down, and he's spending a lot of time down in the pool hall. So we figure he's really getting filled up with lemonade and popcorn probably here. So, and that's what I told him this morning. I said, my job is to make sure you get nutrition so you can grow up a strong body. Mm-hmm. Your job is to do that. You haven't done it. Now I need to start following. Mm-hmm. And when you're ready, then you can take that over again.
My job, your job.
Yeah, we do that at the beginning of the year because kids in classrooms are great to do that. I can't do this, you have to do this, and which jobs are mine, which jobs are yours.
What grade do you teach?
Sixth
grade. Well, you really want to encourage autonomy, because next year, they're going out to middle school, who knows.
I have a quick question about food and kids. We have three kids, the oldest is sixth, and breakfast time is usually a war as to who gets to pick breakfast, and yet I don't want to cater to three separate meals for three separate kids. I'm wondering what people are doing in this autonomy picture. What would you do? Let a six-year-old make their own? I don't know. Anyone have any suggestions?
I know a lot of young kids that are friends of ours, that their kids, everybody's on their own. They have a big family. They get their own breakfast. But it's basically cold cereal or toast and peanut butter, something like that. What do people do? Is breakfast a battle?
No.
Usually is.
Breakfasts up here are, my son will eat it, but he's got hypoglycemia, so today was a great day. The first great day we've had since we arrived last Sunday.
Because of eggs.
See, and if they have yogurt every day, even that would be a big help.
That's something, there's that
suggestion,
to say that for their... And what I found is that sometimes if our kids don't like it, I'll go and ask them for peanut butter and bread. And sometimes they don't have it because they make it all. And sometimes they do. They'll try to cater.
My daughter took him to the nurse, and she said, eat peanut butter for breakfast, because they usually have that. But he says he doesn't want to do that, because it sticks to the mouth.
Yeah, well, there's a choice.
Orange juice, don't drink that.
There's a choice.
I hope you heard that. That's hard for him.
To answer your question, do your kids all like different kinds of breakfast foods?
Well, it's a power play between, our three-year-old is totally independent, like, forget about the choice about clothes, like, she's already dressed at 6:15 in the morning.
I like this kid.
Yeah.
And it's a power play between our six-year-old and our three-year-old as to what's for breakfast, and our rule is we just make one type of food at each meal, and you either eat that or you don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a selection around fruit and stuff, but we're not going to start making three
pancakes, omelets, and French toast.
I think it seemed about the questions that you had on the yellow cartridges. You know, I don't want to sit down and have Doug say, you're going to have this for breakfast. You know, I want to make my choice. And I'm really a breakfast cereal person. I'm not much on eggs and pancakes. You know, and my wife makes that sometimes, and I usually just like to have a bowl of cereal.
Our kids have really nice breakfast.
Mm-hmm. They have a good breakfast, yeah.
Like, you know, they do like either pancakes or...
You know, there are times when our kids fight about a decision like that, and I think I used to just try to always solve it, and anymore, all I'm going to say, between the two of you, you come up with the decision, and I just get out of the room, and then they work it out, and then they come back, and... You know, I don't know if it's fair. Some of them, I suspect somebody's probably compromising more, you know. Someone may be more tender-hearted and give in. But, you know, if it's a, you know, you could even try that for breakfast. It doesn't matter to me.
Say,
somebody chooses.
Turns,
or
you know, today is your day to decide. The next day is the other one's day.
Ooh, almost like a car
really
thing.
Regimented, though.
Yeah, we do the car thing. Yeah.
The car thing, though, yeah. The oldest thing is their birthright. Yes, I know.
Even in odd days.
We do week to week.
Well, I can hear Annie running from the downstairs. Everybody else near the car, and she's, I got the front seat.
Yeah,
she's not near the car, you know.
Yeah.
But she's the oldest girl. And
it's her birthright, she thinks. Yeah, I know.
You know, I've worried at times about the consequences of, I don't know if it's consequences, but... When they get out in the real world, they're not going to be able to go to their employer and describe their job to the employer. The employer describes the job he has, and if he hires you, you do that job. I work with some guys that are still back in the 60s with how the company did it then. But wait a minute, this is 1995. This is how they want to do it now. They made money to do it this way. There's 100 ways to do it. And I kind of worry about too much touchy-feely. And I don't want to be a tyrant either, but I mean, for sure. But it's like... This is what we're doing today. We don't have 4 hours to have breakfast. We got 20 minutes. We woke you up half an hour ago. You chose to lay around for 20 minutes. And now you're late and your hair isn't brushed and your jobs aren't done. You know, your garbage isn't out. And the things that you have to do, or the dog isn't fed, whatever their job is. And I'm a little worried about that. Real world versus it would really be nice.
Are you saying you're more concerned about them not respecting authority?
No.
Or just...
Realizing there's limited choices in the world sometimes, and being not, you can dream and you can go for your dreams, but sometimes you have to be realistic. On a day-to-day basis, I don't mean you have to settle your whole life. I'm settling my life, and this is the way it is, and I'm really sorry it didn't work out, but not that. But like, I'm not sure that which kind of cereal we have is worth the fight in the morning, and whether it's an important issue to be late for the bus for.
And every family's going to for yourself, and it's probably going to come up from the parents, is you're going to figure out what the non-negotiables are. Like going to church, our family, we're going to do this. We don't even talk about it. We're going to worship. That's just it. And other things in our family, we may, you know, which restaurant we go to, we may spend, you know, 10 minutes of time over that if someone's choosing. And in the real world, there are times when you have choices and there are times when you don't. And the real world is hard, and the life is not fair. And there are consequences, and you make choices. I suspect that if you're thinking about your kids as adults, you want them to be interdependent. If you had to pick independent or dependent, I suspect you'd pick independent. But you know, if you really had your choice, you'd want them to be balanced, right? And we want to raise kids that have wings, that can make it out on their own.